Want to, as a matter of fact, it's going to be a theme that we'll be following for a couple of weeks at least, as long as the Lord shall lead us. And the subject today is about real living, real living. It comes to us from Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 through 34. Matthew 6, verses 32 through 34. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word, and certainly it's all about seeking. Amen? Amen? Amen. You may be seated. Thank Reverend Givens again for blessing us in the devotional, and Brother Joe opening up in the music. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for this awesome privilege that we have to come before you with thanksgiving in our heart, and to know, God, that you've called us for a purpose and a reason. We're not here by accident serving on this planet, but we're here on a divine assignment. And God, with that in mind, we approach this message today that you might lead us in the truth and direct us in the way of righteousness for your name's sake. Change us by what we hear. And Lord, I pray that you would indeed change us for the good. We humbly ask in Jesus' name, amen. If I were to ask you, what is real living? Some of you would probably give answers like having enough to eat. Certainly that's a need in many of the areas of this world. Some would even say having a home to live in, having clothes to wear, having water to drink. And these are the basic necessities of life, but I want to subscribe to you today that that is not real living. So what we're going to talk about is life priorities. Is that all right? Life priorities. It's not that you don't need those things. You need them. But it's where you place them on the list of priorities for your life. So if you're going to, say for instance, spend all your life searching for water, make that your number one goal, and you get plenty of water, how satisfying is that? You have other things that you need, right? Or if you make getting something to eat the priority of your life, and you find all the food that you can, and you're satisfied, would that meet every need in your life? And what Jesus was doing in this passage, he was talking to a group of people, Jewish, that had been taught, if you get into the land of promise, the land of Canaan, God's going to provide for you, and it'll be the land of milk and honey. Remember that? That was the promise of God. Now, the living reality of what they were facing is this. They were living in a nation that was occupied by Rome. So they weren't free people. Are y'all in the house? They were serving the Romans. They were under a system of taxation, and many of them found that living in the promised land or living for God, well, I just want to get something to eat. I just want clothes to put on. I just need a shelter over my head. Or I'm just hanging in there. I'm just trying to survive. I'm dealing with this and dealing with that. Is that real living? Now, truth be known, how many of you all last year you found yourself hanging in there? All right, y'all see nod, no hands. Okay, I'm going to raise my hand. I'm a living witness that, Lord, I was just hanging in there. You will find yourself in those types of circumstances, but you should never reduce your level of living to the circumstances that you find yourself in. Jesus said, and in that Sermon on the Mount, there's a better way to live. There's a better way to live. And God did not bring you into this world for you to simply survive and develop what we call Gentile thinking, or what Reverend Gibbons would call stinking thinking. Trying to get by. Trying to survive. And yet life will push you to the limit to where you will feel yourself being squeezed into this mold of just hanging in there. And some of you have already developed the style of life by any means necessary. You ain't got to say amen. I know it's true. So, what is real living? Over the next couple of Sundays, we want to talk about some priorities, some things that you and I need to think about if we are going to live and to live the life that God expects of us. Because that's what he expects. He doesn't just expect you to just make it through this life and then they stick a stone at your marker and say, okay, here lies William Coleman. He was born 1952 and died 2080. That's pretty good, eh? Yeah. What are priorities? What are priorities? People who don't live by priorities or by something that guides their life, some guiding principles, what's going to happen is they're going to find themselves dealing with failure, frustration, and futility. You're going to find yourself getting stuff and not knowing why you got it because you don't really have any priorities. Or you're going to find yourself struggling to get something because somebody else got it and you want it. You will find yourself drifting between the area of need and the area of covetousness because you're not satisfied with the main priority of life, and that is, Jesus said, seek God. When you seek God, when you make him your number one priority, he said, not me, all these things shall be added. In those verses, it's repeated three times, all these things. He understood what the Gentiles were seeking because he made man. And he understood that the believers in God were drifting over into that area and they were thinking, that's all I got to live by. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not saying to you that you're not going to have some challenges in this year that we call 2019. That is not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that you can find a fulfilled life in Christ regardless of the struggles and suffering that you have, because God promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. You can clap your hands right there. That's a good place for it. So you don't want to have this life where you're just drifting from one thing to the next, just trying to get through life. Life does have meaning. So here are the priorities. I may not get through the entire message, but I'm going to try to at least deal with these priorities. Number one, priority of righteousness. Or what we might just call right. And I made a couple of notes on this. You don't need to be right or to prove you're right. You need to follow what's right. Are you with me? A lot of people spend their time and day trying to prove, well, I'm right and you're wrong. That's not what Jesus is saying. He said, seek it. Are y'all in the house? So you have that priority of righteousness and seeking God, but then you also have the priority of value. Of value. Notice Jesus said, seek first. Not second, not third. What do you value in life? And I can tell you, show me your checkbook and I'll show you what you value. If it's got a lot of department store receipts, you value shopping. If it's got lottery tickets, what do you value? Do you value your relationship with God? Do you value church? Do you value people? Or do you, like the Gentiles, value owning stuff? Just having one more thing to own? Or do you say there's a greater value to life and I'm seeking it? It's God. Remember, the things that you can't see are the things that provide us with the inspiration. It doesn't mean that they're not real. It's simply, you can't see love, right? But you can experience it. You really can't see hope, but you know when hope becomes a part of your life. Are y'all still in the house? All right, so the third priority is the priority of time. Priority of time. And we'll deal with each one of these because there are a lot of people, and I'm going to bring this out in the message. You like Otis Redding, sitting on the dock of the bay. You know, from sun up to sundown, sitting in the morning sun, waiting till the evening come. Is that right? Watching ships come in, watch them go out again. What good is that? I mean, you didn't have a job. You didn't have anything. So you got to value time. If you don't value time, time will laugh at you. Time will bring an indictment against you that you wasted me. I gave you 24 hours just like everybody else. I gave you 60 minutes to every hour just like everybody. I gave you 365 days to the year just like everybody else. No, you may not have had what they had, but you had something that you should have thought about, and that was time. Is this making any sense? All right, so, and the fourth priority, inspiration. Inspiration. I'm not going to deal with that one today, but everybody needs to be inspired. Everybody needs to be inspired. And so you need to be inspired by the right thing, because the right thing will push you in the right. You right up back to number one, right? If you got the wrong thing motivating you, Lord have mercy. You're going to find yourself going down a lot of dead-end streets in life if you're not motivated by the right thing. And so when you start seeking God and you start honoring God for who he is, you know him as a person. You know him as a God who cares for you. And you become inspired by that. That's going to be the driving force of your life. I want to see people excited about living. It's called living in the moment. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's not here yet. It's not Monday yet, right? Some of y'all are already back at work. You ain't got tired already. You ready to clock out, and you haven't even gotten into the day. Hello. That's because you're lacking something. You're lacking this inspiration. And what Jesus did now, you got to understand this. They call it the Sermon on the Mount, but I believe that the God of glory sat the people down and said, let me talk to you. You all are frustrated about all the stuff that's going on, and you can't change none of it. Getting mad at folk and worried about who's in the White House and who's down in Richmond. You can't control any of it. Wearing out your carpet when you know that everything is in God's hand. Can I get a witness in the building? And what you ought to be doing is saying trouble ain't going to last always. And there's a reason for everything happening in life, even the things that you don't agree with. But if you are inspired, if you are the type of person that you'll lift your head up regardless, you won't let these things bring you down. And then the last one, priority of faith. And notice I put in parentheses, possibilities. Here's where I want you to get excited. There's a lot of stuff that's possible this year. And if you can begin to think about it, meditate on it, and believe that God is good enough that he'll take you there, you're on a good journey. Because it's all about seeking, right? You don't just have faith in the noun sense. You have faith in the verb sense. And when you turn it to faith in the verb sense, you're saying, Lord, this is possible. This is possible. I want to see it happen. Amen? All right, so y'all with me on these things, right? All right, so those are the five things: righteousness, value, time, inspiration, and faith. I'll work with and do an acrostic later on this week. When I don't have anything else to do, when I get bored, which has never been happening lately. How many of y'all rushed through 2018? December 31st, you're looking around like, where did the year go? And now you're in this year, and you're saying, Lord have mercy, it's the 6th of January already, and I was going to do this. Listen, take time and breathe. Can you do this? Breathe with me. I know your sinus is bothering you, but just breathe. Ah, yeah, that felt better, right? You've got to believe that God is in control. Because if he's not in control, then this planet is doomed. I know the book of Revelation talks about the coming of Christ and the judgment of God. But I'm talking about you, and I'm talking to you today. Lift up your head and live life by the priorities that God has given you, and everything's going to be okay. How many of y'all believe that? All right, so here we go today. We're going to talk about righteousness. Righteousness. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. And I believe God. I believe God. How many of you all have been homeless and then God made a way? There have been some people. There have been some people that have struggled through that. How many of you all have had needs in your life? Now, what I want you to do is I want you to go back to that point where you felt like you couldn't make it. As a matter of fact, you knew you weren't going to make it, but then God had mercy on you. What I want you to do, I'm trying to get a praise out of you. What I want you to do is to look back at where the Lord brought you from. You may not have everything you want today, but you are here today. And you can say that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Listen, God has made a commitment to you. He's made a commitment to me that if I trust him, he's going to provide. Look at what this verse is saying. If I seek him first and his righteousness, all these things shall be added. Y'all ready to unpack this? All right, I'm going to roll through it. I'm going to roll through it. You think I'm going to honk the horn like an 18-wheeler? All right, but as we look at this, the first thing that you got to put on your priority list is that I'm ready to seek. I'm ready to look for. I'm ready to search out. I'm ready to discover the wonderful things of God. I'm ready to discover his plan for my life, his purpose for me being alive, and I want to seek God as a person. Now, if you don't seek God as a person, because it said, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Notice it says, of God and his righteousness. God is a person. God is a person. A couple of things I've got to say about this. Number one, you got to know that when you seek God, you're seeking someone who loves you. You're seeking someone who didn't just put you here and for you to exist as an object. You're the object of his affection and of his care. So you're seeking someone who loves you. And when you seek God and you seek the one that loves you, second thing, you're seeking someone that will speak to you. If he's a person, then he can speak. Now, some people worry about the form that God speaks to you in. Why are you worried about that? If he can just, he can give you anything from a thought to an angel, or he can speak to you, personally. Right? So why do you worry about God speaking to you? Well, let me show you the more perfect way that he's spoken to you. You see that Bible you're holding? Or that one you got on your iPad? And every time you read it and then something begins to move you, that's God speaking to you. Are y'all in the house? Hello? I know it's early in the morning. Yeah, and you feel like going back to bed. But wake up, because this is for real. You're talking about a God, and why do you want to seek him? You want to seek him because he loves you. You want to seek him because that this God that loves you is going to speak to you and he's going to direct you. He's going to direct your path. He's going to show you which way to go. How many of y'all ever prayed, Lord, what is your will? And you prayed that because you had your will in mind. Amen. And people say, well, you can't know the will of God. Well, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible says in Romans that you would prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can know it. You can know it as long as you're not conformed to this world and everything that's in it. Are y'all in the house? Okay, so let's move on. I got to rush on. Third thing about seeking God, not only because he loves you and because he'll speak to you, but it is the best way for your life. Best way. Best way. Now you can claim you know what you're doing. You've never been into the future. You don't know what's up there. You don't know what's in front of you. You don't know what 2019 is holding. But if you know God, and if you know he loves you, and if you know he's speaking to you, it's going to be all right. It's really going to be all right. As a matter of fact, I want you all to say that. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Imagine the Jewish people who were sitting and listening to Jesus,
And him saying this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and they're thinking about the Roman emperor, and he's going to send somebody to tax them one more time. And they're saying, we can't stand this. You can stand anything if God is on your side. So when you start seeking God, you're seeking him as a person. Second thing is that you're seeking heaven as a place. Life is all about destinations, not accomplishments. Life is all about destination. Where are you going? Now, I'm going to tell you something. The old people had a better theology than we did, than we do, rather. Because they said, you know, I know it won't be this way. And then they talk about, I'm going on with Jesus just to say, you know, and they would have all of these sayings and these things to motivate them because they, many of them didn't have a house to live in. Hello? They lived on somebody else's land. Are y'all in the house? But they knew they had a place over yonder where Jesus is. Come on now. Now here you go with your house. Used to be, a one-bedroom house. Now you got five. Come on, somebody. Talking about the Lord, nothing bless me. But there's going to come a day that that house might leave you or you might leave that house. But when you know that you've got another house, a building not made with hands, don't put all your trust on this earth. That's stinking thinking. Don't trust it, what you got right now, you're going to always have. That car will break down on you. I don't care if it does say Mercedes. You're going to be going saying Mercedes. Huh? Everything that man makes, it will break down. It will dissolve. But I'm telling you, if you've got God on your side, he's a way maker. Abraham, man, was very rich. Bible said very rich, which meant he would have been one of the billionaires of his day. Very rich. But he didn't look for an earthly city. He looked for a heavenly city. That man would take up his tent, move to another place. Where is God? And then he'd build an altar because he remembered the goodness of the Lord. And then he'd go another place. He'd be looking for God. And what Jesus was reminding the Jewish people of that day, live by the faith of Abraham, not by the stinking thinking of the Gentiles. That's all they want. Something to eat, clothes to put on, amen, and water to drink. I was talking to a gentleman the other day. I never thought I'd live to see the day where you'd buy water. I grew up on the farm. We had springs. We ain't call them springs, we call them springs. Kept your buttermilk down there at the spring. Look at the young people looking at me like, what are you talking about? You're not that old. We were that poor. We were so poor we couldn't afford the OR. It was just poor, just plain poor. Have mercy, Jesus. But we had a heavenly treasure. God was a good God, and the Lord provided for us. And one of the sermons I preach, I'm going to preach, I'm going to tell you about the talents. I want to bring that in to show you that you have been talented. Which meant if God gave you two talents and you got more now, you've done something. If God gave you five and you got more than what you, Lord have mercy. I know you're claiming you don't have much, but do you have more than what you started with? If you've got more than what you started with, then you bless. Look at somebody and say, I'm blessed. I am, you don't know who you're talking to. I am blessed today. Amen. All right, now I got to move on. Seeking righteousness as your purpose. Not just as something that is nice to do, but as your purpose in life. Now, what are the options? Well, you could seek your own feelings. You know, you could go by what you think is right. Or you could Google it and go by what everybody else is saying and then end up messed up just like they are. Or you could tweet it and then find yourself out there on a limb. Remember, tweet? Never mind. You could go with your gut, but I can tell you your gut ain't nothing but indigestion. Take a Tums and then seek God because you need to seek what is right. When you think about what is right, you need to see what meets God's approval. What is going to stand the test of time? What is something that's going to last forever? Remember Otis Redding? That guy was very successful. Very successful. Otis Redding didn't just make songs and write records. He became a record producer. But here he is, almost at the end of his life, and he's writing this pitiful song, Dock of the Bay. Because he found out that it was not in the songs or not in the fame, not all the being on the stage and all the glamour. All of that stuff is going to come to an end, but I can tell you that if you seek God, no matter how bad life gets, God's going to make your life fruitful. He's going to give you joy. He's going to give you peace. He's going to give you something on the inside that the world can't take away when you seek him and his righteousness. So when we seek him, the last thing is, you're human. I know you think you got wings, but you're human. Jesus did not exclude your need in this verse. Are y'all in the house? He said, seek first the kingdom of God. I'm almost out of time. Lord have mercy. I'm running out of time, Marvin. What am I going to do, man? All right, get it next week. But watch this. What if you sought the things from God first? Then the only thing that you're doing is treating God as your Walmart. The only thing you're doing is coming to God, Lord, give me my stuff. Is that a relationship? Now, I know some of y'all doing it. You don't want to do it, but every time you get on your, Lord, have mercy, my bills need to be paid. Lord, the people getting ready to shut my lights off. I got a notice in the mail. Is that how you want to live your life? Or do you want to come to him and say, Lord, by the way, I honor you, but I got this light bill. And the folks say, if it don't get paid, I'm going to be in the dark. But it's all right, Lord. I can learn how to light a candle. Amen, somebody. Now, can I take y'all to the country? We didn't worry about lights being off. We were from the country. You know what? We had old-fashioned oil lamp. Are y'all in the house? We had a wood stove. Come on, somebody. You know the kind that you buy from the $49 at the hardware store? And that thing get red hot. You got a backup off. That's old time. I know y'all. What? We weren't worried about lights being shut off. Because when it was summertime, we canned enough food and put it in the jars to where if it did warm up, it wouldn't go bad because it was canned. Huh? But look at us today. We worry if our cell phone shuts down. Oh, God, I don't have internet connection. You'll live. Take a deep breath. You will live. So if you seek those things, even if you go to God for those things and you don't address him first, you're disrespectful. You're not honoring God. That's why we come to church. Not because it's a routine. We come because we worship him. We know that he does give us the same. Yes, we're human. Yes, we got needs. Yes, we got bills. But we got God. And we know that he'll provide for our every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Another shout goes right there. Yeah. I want to close with two examples. Two examples. You can either be the one that's on the dock of the bay wasting time. Or you can be the one that is saying, I'm going to go with God. I'm going to go with God. Here at the beginning of 2019, you need to decide which direction. If you're going to seek something to motivate you, you got to decide. Are you going to be like Lot, who basically spent his time with the dock of the bay stinking thinking? This man, God spoke to him. God actually spoke to him, warned him. God would lead him, but you never hear him praying. You never see him building altars to God. You only see Lot on the receiving end. Why? He was seeking God, but he was not really seeking God for who he was. He was seeking God for what he could get. Lot's way of thinking. So the end of his life, this man had escaped the fire of Sodom and Gomorrah. The end of his life, he's living in so much fear that he and his two daughters wind up in a cave. In a cave. And they end up committing incest with their own father because he had this way of thinking. He couldn't think outside of the area of his need. His thinking was reduced to a set of priorities that said, just give me something to eat, give me a place to stay, give me some clothes on my back, and I'm happy. That is not the plan that God has for your life. And it's certainly not the one that he has for mine. And I'm not going to settle with that. When you settle with that kind of thinking, you don't become the person that God wants you to be. You become, in other words, the victim of life instead of the victor. But now, let's look at another old man. God didn't start talking to him until he got 75. How many of y'all less than 75? Yes, Lord. So I got a chance. Amen. I got a chance in 2019. Amen. So here we go with Abraham. He's got the priority in life where he says, go with God. Go with God. God told him, say, Abraham, get out from among your people and go to a land that I'm going to show him. Didn't give him road map. Didn't give him anything to go by. And you know what Abraham said? I'm going with God. Wherever he leads me, I'm going to follow. Here's a man that recognized God. He would build altars to the Lord. And when God said to Abraham, do you really love me? He said, yes, Lord. Take your only son and sacrifice him. Abraham went to Mount Moriah and there placed his son Isaac on the altar. And God had to stop him. Said, wait a minute, Abraham, I know you love me. I know you love me. You're willing to give your best. Abraham had a testimony, not from men, but from God, because he was willing to go with God. What am I saying to you? I'm saying, are you willing to go with God this year? Maybe we didn't do too much last year, but are you willing to go with God? As a matter of fact, this man was so good at following God that at the end of his life, and they had the funeral service, God did the eulogy. I mean, when you got God to do your eulogy, you got to be doing some living right there. This is what God said about him in Genesis 26 and verse 5. Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. God did the eulogy over this man's life because he was willing to follow God every step of the way. And I'm telling you, God would do the same eulogy over your life. What do you mean, preacher? The Bible said that if you've done the will of God, you will hear his welcome voice say, well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Now, as I close, some of you are thinking, well, this life is all there is. Then why did Jesus say when you leave this world that he'll reward you? If you're thinking that this is it. It's got to be more, but you got to seek him in order to find it. Amen? I preached long enough. It's almost Sunday school time, so I'm just going to close with prayer, and I will invite you to set some good priorities this year. Not what you think, but set the priority of following what's right. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your awesome glory and your presence today. I pray that you would continue, Lord, to build us up in our faith. Help us to be strong in the Lord and enter into what we call real living, not just existing. We don't want to just live from day to day, paycheck to paycheck. We want to live in the abundant life that you've called us to, the life of peace, joy, and satisfaction and contentment in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's our priority. Bless that one, Father, that needs to make a decision today that they will follow you. Give them the strength and the courage and the faith. I pray this in Jesus' strong name. And all the people said, amen, amen. God bless you. I'm going to give the invitation. Actually, we all stand if there are one today. Did the message make sense? Is it helpful? Amen. Grow by it then. Amen. Grow by it. Grow with it. Invitation is given. Whosoever will, let him come. I want to get ready for our offering. We ask that you would prepare your hearts as we prepare to give.
We honor the Lord through our giving. I ask the officers.